At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show on Wrestling Inc., and if we got a show for you. Ospreay and Ricochet run it back. Jay White returns, and Shelton Benjamin is All Elite. But before we get started with all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Jimmy Corderis and George Ramosa, who's busy reading some book, I guess. Jimmy, play it on your phone again. You got to let the trolls go, man. Let them live under their bridge.
No, I'm having too much fun, man. People don't get this. This is very entertaining. By the way, I also had to take a picture of that little book that George Hermosa is reading right now. Thank you very much, George.
Wait, hold on. What? Wait, hold on. This is you?
Yeah, about 20 pounds heavier and...
Oh, little, no way.
Darker.
Look at that. Head. That's a wow. Just the
man,
wow.
The man, oh the God. Legend, no myth to the history of wow. Jimmy Corderis.
I never knew that. I just thought you were just some random guy like I am doing these wrestling shows. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I don't like George implying that we're all just random fellas on this show.
You guys aren't random fellas to me. Never will be.
Well, we've got a lot to cover on the fifth anniversary of AEW Dynamite.
They need to edit this. Because you are more a radio and television broadcast analyst. You are also a YouTube analyst. Thank you very much.
But the book was written a while back. I don't know.
We need part two.
Yeah, there you go. The four count. The four count.
There you go. Five. Make it the five.
Five count. And then you can move up to the 10 count. And then you can move up to the 20 count, really. And then after that, you're out of counts. That's it.
Or just don't count at all.
Just don't count at all. We'll talk about that. Let's get into some news. First, though, as we're talking about counting, we're counting money, counting dollars. AEW has reportedly officially signed a new multi-year multimedia rights deal with Warner Brothers Discovery on the fifth anniversary of its flagship show, AEW Dynamite. Variety reported the deal was made official on Wednesday, though financial terms were not disclosed. According to the outlet's sources, the deal is valued at upwards of $150 million per year. Dynamite and Collision will remain on TBS and TNT, but will also stream on Max simultaneously for subscribers in the United States. Shows will be available to stream on demand at the beginning of 2025. As for AEW's ever-increasing pay-per-view schedule, Variety revealed that pay-per-views will be available for purchase on Max later on in 2025 at a discounted price per show. In the statement seemingly provided to Variety, AEW president Tony Khan said the company is honored to announce the extension of its partnership. This is the big news, Jimmy. We've been waiting for it. Everyone's been saying it's imminent. Well, imminent no more. It is here. What do you make of this? Big deal.
I'm glad. Congratulations to them for striking a deal. But that means they'll be around for whatever many years. They didn't really disclose. I mean, I've heard everything from 3 to 5 years, but whatever it is, good on them and glad for all the talent. That's for sure, because now they have a viable place to work, all of them. And there's a lot of them under contract. That's for sure. So I'm happy for that. A lot of the details are kind of left out. I mean, we know that they're going to be streaming the pay-per-views on Max as well, coming in 2025. The show's going to be actually streaming on Max as well at the same time live, they said. So I don't know how that's going to affect TV numbers, which people like to focus on, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting deal. It is interesting. You know, there's a lot of questions financially as the costs that the Warner Brothers Discovery is paying to them. Is it going to cover the costs of them doing business? There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of discussion out there. I'm not going to get into the details of that because I don't know the details. I don't know what their talent roster payroll is, what the payroll, you know, what the cost of production is. There's a lot of costs there that people don't know about. So it's going to be interesting. Hopefully they stay viable and make a profit. And you know what they say, rising waters lifts all ships. So hopefully they can continue to thrive.
This is, I love what you said about the longevity of this. Now, for however many years this is agreed to, that means there's going to be work for people and there's jobs for people. And that's what I absolutely love, no matter what they're doing in the ring or on the show, is that's jobs for people. It's opportunities for people. And much like we've seen contracts, people are probably going to get paid more than they would have previously. So for the workers, for the wrestlers, for the broadcasters, for the referees, for everybody, I think it's a good thing. In the pro wrestling world, you're right. I feel like this is that next step in us learning to let go of ratings, because I feel like that's an antiquated system and has been for a long time, but we just had no other way of judging this stuff. But now that it's streaming, even with Raw and Netflix, they don't give those numbers away. So we're not going to know exactly what those numbers look like. But George, I want your thoughts on this. The downside to this, and maybe this is a subtle downside. Well, I should say, one thing I love, streaming on Max. I feel like that is a huge – it's so much easier in this day and age, at least for me, to turn on the Max app than it is for me to go to – I watch on Sling. Sling, like, who uses Sling? That's such a weird thing to go to. I can't wait to cancel – sorry, Sling, if you're a sponsor. I can't wait to cancel Sling. I got to keep it for the other shows. But I feel like Max is so much more user-friendly. It's more accessible. The one thing I don't like, though, is it says – pay-per-views at a discounted price. Sounds like we're not getting them free. Sounds like that's still going to be a bit of a barrier for people with no budget, George.
I totally agree. I thought, especially with the way the pay-per-view model is now, just with the whole, you know, you can, I know going back to WWE Network, it was all for $9.99 every month. Mm-hmm. So I think we all kind of got a little spoiled from that, especially not having to spend anything more than $9.99 and especially all that extra great content. But my initial reaction to the deal was, it's about time. Like Lizzo said, it's about time. Because, and with all due respect, how many times have we been asked on these shows about, like, oh, well, what do you think about the rumor about them getting a deal? What do you think about this? And I'm like, we've been talking about rumors and innuendos for about a year now. So I'm happy that it's finally official. Now we can move forward. I remember going back to maybe a little over 5 years ago when the first deal was announced about AEW Dynamite happening. And it was literally probably one of the best days in the history of pro wrestling. You know, the buzz was there, even going back to when me and Jack were at AfterBuzz, just how much excitement there was in the studio on that day, watching AEW and watching NXT just a couple tables down, watching on those stools. And they were just so much fun. And this is just that fun continuing for another 3, 4, or 5 years, hopefully for the next 100 years and beyond. So I think it's a win-win overall. But at the same time, I do think it's a lose-lose. Because I think the worst news about it all, and I tweeted this earlier, and maybe nobody saw it, is how are they not going to include a reality show with Juice Robinson and Toni Storm? Because I am dying to know what goes on in that household. Because, man, just listening to Tony talk, whether it's promos in Japan, watching Juice Robinson on AEW TV on a regular basis, that must be the funnest household. And how do we not get a reality show with them too, a part of this deal?
Well, it might be. They said that there are options for additional programming, so that might come. It'd be great if they did a reality show. We find out that in real life, they're the most boring couple you've ever seen. They're just super bland and uninteresting.
Yeah, can you just see him? Hon, can I have another cup of coffee? Sure, dear.
Decaf.
Decaf, please.
Yeah. It's very, very boring. But
so do you want to go to Whole Foods today or do you want to go to Sprouts?
I don't know if we'll have time to do both. I've got to shampoo the carpet today. But Adonde asks, so you pay for Max monthly and pay for the pay-per-view separately. That is what I understand it's going to be. I could be mistaken. That's how UFC does it with their deals.
Yeah.
So it's not completely unheard of. It's just, to George's point, now that we're used to free PLEs with the competition, it's a tough ask. Even if it's $10, it's like, man, I could have got this for free with the other guys. And, you know, that's just the market now. It's been reset in that
way. And so even though I think the rumor is a lot of the AEW content is going to get moved over to Max. And even though it's been a great 5 years, going back to the WWE Network when that first started, that was literally 30, 40, maybe even 50 years of content. In addition to the pay-per-views that we were getting. So yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb and just say, like, maybe if it's $20, I think that's okay. I'm just hoping that it's not gonna be $40, $50, or maybe even you get $5 off if you have a Max subscription. You know, just I hope that they make it worth the while if they completely do the transition to the Max and not do any more of the traditional pay-per-views.
Yeah, from what I understand, their whole library will be on Max, which I think is great as well, just to give people the opportunity to go back. I think that was something when they did it with the WWE Network. I don't think we realized how powerful that is to be able to have the ability to go back and check out the libraries. Now, obviously, WWE has a much bigger library than AEW, but it does absolutely help to bring in new fans, or if you're like, hey, I'm interested in this, let me... I'm a completionist guy. Like, when a show's on, I like to go to the beginning and watch, like, to make sure I catch up.
Same.
Wrestling, you can't do that, because if you did that with WWE, you'd be catching up for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
But it's nice to be able to go back and see that kind of stuff. There was a comment, and I forgot. Oh, Corey Pride asks, but Rampage is dead, right? From what I understand, it's done.
Right.
Which... I don't think anyone cares that Rampage may be done.
Rampage reminded me of the old school WWF Superstars or Wrestling Challenge, where it really held no like weight in the terms of the overall. You know, we see like a random match, but overall, just like, oh, guess MXM is in action. Like, that's it.
It almost felt like we need an hour of content for our television. Okay. Hey, guys, can you put on an hour show? Yeah, we'll just throw something together.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's exactly what it was. I mean, there's a lot of times there are TV deals for like international audiences and stuff like that. Like, that's why like WWE has Main Event that they do. And to like George is saying, it doesn't really care. I don't think anyone really cares what's happening on there, but they have to have that hour of programming for whatever the reason is. But there's always been those things with wrestling. You know, in late period WCW, they had the WCW Saturday night, not the Saturday night everyone knows and loves, but the Saturday night that was in late period WCW.
Yeah. And they also had Worldwide.
Worldwide, Sundays. Yeah. And WWE had, you know, their shotgun Saturday nights and their, you know, different things where stuff that was on that it was content, but it wasn't exactly... You know, you weren't seeing the biggest stars and the biggest action there. So
those first few episodes of Shotgun Saturday Night, though, like that. Oh my God, what a breath of fresh air!
Yeah,
but that's you know, like Sunday Night Heat got that way for a long time, and those kind of things. So Velocity, Fernando's bringing up, so those things are always there. But something, you know, we're talking about big stars. We're talking about, like, you know, not the Sunday Night Heat stars, not the Rampage stars, no disrespect. But, I mean, we're talking the biggest stars in the world. We're talking about the Costco guys. AEW has signed social media superstar Andrew Bufumo Jr., a.k.a. AJ, to a one-match deal. Jimmy Corderas, I know that you follow all of the Costco guys' stuff. How excited are you to see AJ in AEW competing in a match?
I'm more curious than anything, but as far as following him, I don't know. I do go to Costco. I do shop at Costco. I have a membership there here in Canada. But, you know, I just find it's going to be interesting on how much buzz he's going to create. I'm not familiar with his social media following and or anything like that. I'm assuming it's maybe you can help me out, Jack. Is it a big following?
Well, George, I know you, before we went live, you were talking about how obsessed, I believe the word is, you used to talk about how you watch the Costco guys.
I mean, the first thing that I noticed was they have Costco in Canada.
Oh, yeah. It is nuts. I'd rather be stuck on the one highway in California for 6 hours than go to a Costco. It's so busy. Try to navigate a shopping cart through that place.
Even during the, because I never go to Costco on the weekends, ever. But even during the week, it's pretty busy.
Yeah, we went yesterday, which was a Tuesday. And it was like, you got to be kidding me. Don't people have anything to do on a Tuesday? I don't. That's why I went.
I go to Costco on the weekends all the time because I'm a psychopath.
Oh, you're a sicko. You're a Costco sicko.
I'm a Costco sicko.
And they get me with those free samples. Like, oh, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
They mission accomplished to every Costco employee I'm always buying whatever they sample. But I'm more focused on the social media, the Boom guys or Costco guys. Is this should be the blueprint to anybody that wants to get signed by a major company. Because look at the buzz that these guys are getting on social media, and they're not even pro wrestlers. So that should give some kind of light bulb for a lot of people out there that are saying, like, man, what do I got to do to get signed? What do I got to do to get noticed? I don't know. Up your social media game, because that is exactly what these guys are doing. I don't follow these guys. I don't care for these guys. But guess what? I know who these guys are. As annoying as they may be, they're the ones living the dream. For them. And that's, it says a lot more about what a lot of these other people that maybe are kind of half-assing things and whatnot. And I know there are a lot of people that work hard out there. So I don't want to take away that there are a lot of people that work hard out there, but just goes to show you the more you stand out, the more you are going to get noticed by people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it goes with everything. I mean, obviously we've seen the success of like a Logan Paul being able to come into WWE. We see actors and musicians like Bad Bunny going into WWE and Stephen Amell. Shaq was in AEW. This is one of those things, too. I know wrestling fans will get very protective and they'll say, hey, how come, I want wrestlers, just because someone's popular doesn't mean they should get these opportunities. This is everything. I mean, back in the old days, you guys remember, we used to have models, but now we just have actors and singers who model also. You know, we don't have the people, we don't have Cindy Crawfords anymore. We have, this is Beyonce, who's now also modeling, or this is whoever, you know, like, it's everything that's happening that way. So, yeah, if you want to be a professional wrestler, you better find a way to get people to follow you online, because that's how you're going to sell tickets.
Remember how big of a deal it was when WrestleMania had, like, celebrities?
Yeah.
You know, at WrestleMania 10, they had Rhonda Shear, for goodness sakes, and Burt Reynolds. At WrestleMania 11, they had Jonathan Taylor Thomas, a big favorite of the kids these days, or back in the day.
Snoop Dogg just won a WrestleMania match.
Oh, against The Miz?
The Miz.
Yeah.
By the way, Snoop Dogg needs to be on commentary for WrestleMania every single year for at least one match.
Speaking of being on commentary, we did get a super chat that I wanted to let sit for a little bit before I got to it, because I didn't want to get to it, but it's a super chat, so I got to. Superman Bass Fisher says, I'd like to shampoo Tony's carpet. LOL.
Okay.
Is that $2 Canadian? Is that what it said?
that's about $1.50.
So we got some injuries we got to talk about. Speaking of shampooing carpets, we got some injuries to talk about. Killswitch actually had a pretty serious issue. Had ammonia in both lungs, is hospitalized, so we're wishing Killswitch the best in his recovery. Eddie Kingston updated us on his situation. He said, quote, so the injury originally happened in May of 2024. I would like to be back in May of 2025, maybe even April, something like that. You know what I mean? But I'm not rushing it. Also, Adam Cole had some injury news. Fightful reported Monday that the word backstage within the company is that they are, quote, hopeful and even expecting to get Cole back quote, sooner than later, and things have already been put in motion creatively to prepare for his return. According to the new report, Cole was backstage at All Out and walking around without the use of a boot and was said to be in good spirits. George, obviously, we best wishes out to Killswitch. Sounds like we might get some big stars back pretty soon, though, for AEW.
Yeah, I mean, we got one of them back today, but I mean, I like the confidence from these guys as well, especially like, you know, Eddie Kingston, because one of the biggest things that can happen with injuries is your spot gets taken. You know what I mean? Like that's something that is real, like to the point where you look at like Steve Austin. I know Steve Austin's a big star, but even he mentioned like, dude, when I was gone with my neck injury, The Rock was out there being the number one guy. And he kind of had that worry of, is he going to be the number one guy when he comes back? And that's Stone Cold Steve Austin saying that. So, you know, I know that's kind of a fear for a lot of these guys, whether it's Adam Cole or Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston. I'm hoping for someone like Adam Cole. It should be soon because it was about a year ago that he got hurt. It was last year's Grand Slam. And I really like what he was doing before he got hurt. I thought that was some of the best TV that they were doing at the time. I go back to that moment where Adam Cole came out, or MJF and Adam Cole came out, where they did the mashup of both of their theme songs. That is one of my favorite moments in the entire history of AEW. And I hope he doesn't come back as a babyface again. Or I don't know, just because the last time he kind of came back as a babyface and did the, you know, I was injured, and then he kind of, I don't know, just it got a little repetitive. So either way, I'm excited for the perspective of these guys coming back. And I know, I just hope that when they come back, then we don't have a new batch of people that are hurt, because, you know, kind of it's wrestling, it's physical. So, you know, injuries are kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Inevitable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Jimmy, George makes a great point. The locker room is always shuffling in pro wrestling. Nothing's stagnant. And so when you're away for a while, spots get taken. These are two guys, though. I think Adam Cole and Eddie Kingston will find a place to come back. They'll have a place, but it makes you wonder whose spot are they going to take. That's the thing about pro wrestling, Jimmy. You never, when someone's added, someone's removed. You may not know who it is, but it inevitably happens. But I think these are two guys we got to get back on TV.
Yeah, in some form or fashion, they have to be back on TV. The one thing I liked hearing was Eddie Kingston saying, "I'm not rushing it." And that, you know, that's, he's got that old school mentality where you kind of fight through the pain, but at the same time, I think he realizes how bad this injury was. So he is taking that approach, and I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that. And as for Adam Cole, he's been out for a while. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they're saying they've got some creative plans in place for him. Let's take our time with it and not rush it back. Hey, our creative plan is he's going to come back and have a match with so-and-so.
Yeah.
No, just don't rush it with him either. When I'm talking about rushing, I'm talking about creatively. Take your time, because you don't have to blow through everything. You know, that's one of my complaints about AEW, is everything has to be done yesterday because everybody's attention span is not what it used to be. No, if you give them something tangible to get interested in, they will stick around. And Adam Cole is a great talent. He could do it all. He's you know, he ticks all the boxes, from in-ring work to facial expressions to promo work, everything. So you got a great guy there that could do it all. Let's take advantage of it and not, you know, 20 and 10, as we say.
Yeah. And there's just to add on real quick, there's only so much TV time that can go around. There's only 120 minutes or 125 minutes that can ground on a weekly show, unless you're Chris Jericho, of course. But that's just, you know, there's only so much time that you can allot to a wrestler. And at some point, you know, it can get a little overcrowded. So hopefully people kind of find their place.
I love just something that popped in my head. Sorry, George, but when you said 120 minutes of TV time a week, if you gave every person on the roster 1 minute, you still couldn't fill, still need more TV time.
I'm a huge fan of Adam Cole, and I think he is a superstar. I think we see what he did in NXT and how great he was there. I think when he came to AEW, I appreciate what they were trying to do. I think they tried some different things creatively. I think in hindsight, it probably wasn't the best creative. It didn't work out, I think, as well as they wanted to, with him being, you know, friends with MJF and the devil thing. I don't think it worked out. In hindsight, it's easy to say it didn't work out, but I think he can come back and become a big deal. I think he can be a big player for them.
Agreed.
Superman Bassfisher says, had to pop in and see Jimmy. Hope you're doing well. So shout out to Jimmy. Oh my goodness. By the way,
thank you. Yeah.
say thank you to Superman Bass Fisher real quick, Jimmy, while I pull up a, we got a 5-star review. On Apple Podcasts, and I'm stalling as I pull it up here because I didn't get ready in time.
Well, I want to thank you, Mr. Superman Bass Fisher, for the well wishes. Yes, I was under the weather last week, but I fought through it. I went through the grind, bruv, because that's what I do.
That's what we do. Well, I want to thank everyone who's with us here tonight, and I want to thank everyone who's in the chat. But also, I want to thank Mikey and Fred, who left us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, said, really enjoy this podcast, saying, quote, with me having 2 full-time jobs and running a wrestling promotion myself, I don't usually have time to watch the current product. Wrestling Inc. has been a go-to for several years now that keeps me updated on the news as well as what it all is going on with wrestling so that I don't recreate stories in my promotion. I have enjoyed the various personalities that have come and gone in the time I have been listening. My favorites are Glenn, Jack, and Jimmy. My day normally starts off with the podcast while I'm working on delivering the mail. Keep up the great work, guys. So thank you so much, Mike and Fred, for that. But let us know what the promotion is. I'd love to give you guys a shout out and check you guys out and what you're doing.
Mikey and Fred, if you ever need a wrestler, a commentator, and a referee, we're all available.
Mm-hmm. Right here. You could have Jimmy calling the act. You could have Jimmy in the ring counting the action. I'll call the action. And George will wrestle a broom or something. I don't know. we'll get it done. But thank you to everyone who is here with us, as well as, you know, J.R. Smith, Frugal Minimalist, Corey Pride, Beer Money, Laura Rock, Stephen Camp, Danny Cochran, Jeroy J., Christopher Suarez, Ricky Zaldivar, George Bartley, Jose Topete, Real Haney, Sonny Sitar, Rick Plott, lots of you guys in here. You know, I say it on Monday, George. I wish I could. I used to shout out everybody, but now we've got so many people, I don't have time to get through everybody. But I do appreciate everybody coming in here. And I always, as always, appreciate the lurkers coming in and just watching, like through the blinds, like those memes. You know, you see some just like looking through the blinds. That's cool. We like you guys here.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Let's talk about the 5th anniversary of AEW Dynamite. You know, it's crazy. George alluded to it in the beginning. Before we get it, I'm going to talk about myself a little bit. I remember I had this old company, AfterBuzz TV. We were covering WWE shows. Maria Menounos was there. She's an advocate of WWE. I don't know what the relationship is there, but this new show coming around, AEW, was starting. I was like, guys, I want to cover this show. Let's do it. And they're like, well, you don't know. We should do it, blah, blah, blah. I was like, listen, it's going to be big. I can tell. It's pro wrestling. Let's do it. I convinced him to do it. We did the show. I was covering AEW since day one, and we were in this little studio, and Jimmy, you've been in studios. George, you were in this studio. You know how it is. We're watching our own shows, but studios are cramped. They always look nice and big on TV, but they're cramped. And so we're all shoulder to shoulder watching our stuff. And everyone's saying, which show is going to have the better ratings? And I said, I don't care about NXT or AEW. My review show is going to have more views than the NXT review show.
Yeah, it would be head to head. But let me tell you a funny story, Jimmy, because we were in this like Facebook group, whatever, right? Because, you know, we all kind of talked about, you know, oh, cool, you know, who wants to do After Buzz? Is anybody available? So Jack Farmer puts up a thing like, hey, guys, I'm going to be reviewing AEW Dynamite. Just wanted to see if there's any interest. Wanted to see, you know, if anyone's available, wants to do this on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. All the replies that he got were all from women.
Really?
Tell me I'm wrong.
Wow.
They're all from women. I'm interested. Ooh, wrestling. What's that? Ooh, AEW. Oh, my God.
Jack's got the Kovorka.
I think they call it the Riz these days.
Oh,
you know, okay. You know, Jimmy, you'll appreciate this. We had this wonderful person who joined us. Her name was Jessica Connor. And she Jessica O'Connor. And she's a great host. But she knows, she's more about music and stuff like that. But she wanted to try something new, wanted to be a host. But, you know, it'd be great to get a non-wrestling fan on here who's a great host to get their perspective of stuff. They're not in the weeds. And she was great. We're covering the show. A few weeks go by, and she's like, yeah, this is really fun. So how long is a season of pro wrestling? you don't know what you signed up for.
Hold on. It goes from September to the end of August.
Yeah.
She held her own later. She held her own, though, because there were some weeks that you weren't available, and she was a lead host, and she did perfectly fine.
She's great. No, she's an absolute pro. Yeah. She's an absolute pro. I will say one of my favorite moments, and you could probably find this on the internet somewhere. I posted it a while ago, and we'll talk about AEW Dynamite tonight, but I just got to tell this funny story. She would always do a best dressed. We had a segment where she would show the best dressed person on the episode. And this one time she showed Britt Baker. She's like, I loved her outfit. I loved her gear. And the picture she showed of Britt Baker was her laid out on the mat, like getting attacked. And she was like just flat and splattered on the mat. She's like, yeah, her outfit looks so great here. Is that the best picture you can find? And it just it cracked me up so much. It's the clip is out. I literally broke down. I couldn't continue the show. Like, we had to stop for like 3 minutes because I couldn't stop laughing. Speaking of, let's get to our show. Let's talk about this one. We start with some really intense international championship action. Ricochet versus Will Ospreay. Classic between two greats that ends in a draw. TK says, let's keep it going. But that's when Takeshita jumps into the ring and attacks Will Ospreay, ending the match in a DQ. Afterwards, Takeshita also attacks Ricochet. Jimmy, I have some specific questions for you. So I'm going to go to you, George, first for some overall thoughts. I loved this match, but I cannot tell you how disappointed and frustrated I was with the ending.
Oh, yeah. You wanted a clean finish, huh?
Not even a clean finish. This felt.
Or just a finish.
I don't want to take Jimmy's line because we all know the potato line, but it felt overcooked to me.
I mean, I see where you're coming from. To me, it doesn't take away from the match. I think we've all seen either clips of or the actual whole match of that viral match they had, was it 6, 7, 8 years ago? And, you know, we saw glimpses of that, but I thought it was great. I thought it was a great match, regardless of the finish. I like that they were more pacing themselves. They weren't trying to just go bam, 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 bam. It seems like they both matured in many, many ways from that match, and now it's like whether or not they're older, maybe their bodies can't do that. Although I think they can. I thought it was great. I thought the finish was great. I love that it ended with a double pin that ended up doing more. And honestly, it left me wanting more. And that's what pro wrestling is about. It left me wanting more. It left me satisfied with what the match that I saw, but also can't wait to see it the next time. Maybe the next time they'll have a one-on-one match, it'll be for the AEW world title, and it's going to be on a bigger, grander scale, maybe an all-in next year. So I like what I saw, and to me, I have no complaints of whether the match, whether the spots, whether the double pin, whether the interference, the DQ, Takeshita inserting himself. He's rumored to have a big push sometime soon. But I no complaints from me on this one.
I think if it was just Takeshita, I would have been like, okay, I get it. Cool. The pin is what bothered me because of the pin and Jimmy. So I want your thoughts on the match. But and the ending and everything, but from a referee standpoint, let's forget like whether or not it's a good idea, bad idea, whatever.
Okay.
This double pin, there's a few points in it that I have questions about. One, is Ricochet even able to pin in that? Like, does that count as a pin? I get one hand was over Will Ospreay, but like, does that count? And two, can one referee count all four shoulders down? Because in the past, I feel like I've seen this, it's always been when there's two referees or something like that.
Which is what I've done in the past with two referees. It was Jericho and China for the Intercontinental Championship. It was a double pin situation, but I got bumped. So a second referee slid in, and then that's why the double pin situation. And this one, having one referee, I guess it works because he was able to see both competitors' shoulders to the mat. I know there's a question people were asking me whether, why wouldn't that be a double down situation where the referee would count to 10 as opposed to three? I understand where they're asking that question, but both men were down. Ricochet was on top of, Will Ospreay was on top of Ricochet, whose shoulders were on the mat. Will Ospreay's shoulders were on the mat. And yes, even though it was just one arm that was on top of Will Ospreay, that still does constitute a pin attempt, even though it was an unintentional pin attempt. So the referee, technically speaking, made the right call. Whether it was a good call from a fan standpoint, it let a lot of air out of the sails for the fans. They really poo-pooed all over it. They didn't like it. So we get the magic call from Tony Khan. I wish he'd just come out. I know he doesn't want to be on TV because he's not great on a mic. Doing the authority figure thing, but I wish he'd just come out there, or even Christopher Daniels. Say Christopher Daniels out there and say, you know, Tony Khan has sent me out here to say this match is going to continue, instead of saying somebody got a text message at ringside. I don't know why they continue to do that. For some reason, that irks me. And then to continue the match only to take the wind out of the sails a minute later, if that. That's the problem I had with it. I think I agree with you, Jack. Forget the double pin situation. Leave that out, because all it did was confuse a lot of people, because a lot of people didn't understand what was going on. They didn't understand, was it the right call? Was it the wrong call? When you do that and the fans are questioning it, that's not the right kind of questions they need to be asking.
Yeah.
So leave that situation out. Let's have Takeshita come in and just ruin a good match, and then put the heat on him for ruining the good match.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like sometimes AEW, I always say that like one of their issues for me with their matches, I feel like they always extend it a little longer than it needs to. And we had the issue with the tag team match last week where it was like, I think they hit Kyle Fletcher with the belt, then he kicked out, then they did their move, and then they won. And I was like, why not just win with the belt? Why did you extend it that extra little bit? And so, I think if Takeshi just came in and wrecked them, I'd feel a lot better about this. But
if I could make a food reference, it's like a nice Greek spanakopita, where you have that nice phyllo and with the spinach and cheese in between. It's like putting too many layers of phyllo on top.
Yeah.
You lose the flavor of the spinach and cheese.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so go ahead, Jordan.
I was going to say, I'm going to say it in American terms. It's like when you have too many toppings on a pizza. And it's like, oh yeah, I'll have a pizza on the side of all those toppings, you know.
You can't put too many toppings on a pizza. Yeah, come on, it's all about the cheese. That's what we want. But I think just to put a button on it, I also that double pin for me, it just felt weird. And I agree with you, Jimmy. I do think if you had the authority figure like Christopher Daniels come out and because that builds like tension too, instead of just like, we want to run it back. Okay, we're going to continue. Okay, now the match is over. It's very like, what, where? If they're like, we want to run it back. And you see the person come out like, hey, guys, and they say a few things, and that tension kind of builds. Is he going to let us go? Are they going to let him go? And they say, so let's ring the bell. You're like, oh, we get it. Right. You know, and you kind of build it instead of just a, like it didn't sink in enough for me to feel like, oh, we're going to continue it. And then it got cut off again so fast that the match was fantastic though. Let me ask you that, Jimmy, before we move on. Did you like the match before the end? Is this your, because I know that we have a different styles, I think, in the kind of matches we like. Right. Were you into this one or was it a little too flippy for you?
It wasn't the style that I prefer, but I knew what I was getting going into it. So I put that aside and just let myself enjoy what they were doing. Does that make sense? You know, I know I'm more of this, you know, catch as catch can kind of really sink your teeth into the psychology and storytelling of a match and really get into it and grab a body part and work the body part, have it make sense. This, there was a lot of stuff going on that, you know, let's be honest, it was a lot of get your stuff in, but at the same time, you know, these guys know each other very well and they did a good job and they catered to that audience and got the desired response. And I was able to put, like I said, put that stuff aside and just sit back and watch the match and be entertained.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, but I also get that there's different styles out there. Huffman Elite Training though. Super chat says, Jimmy, every time I bag my cat's litter boxes, I think of your saying 10 pounds of poop in a 5-pound bag. It's stuck in my head now. I just took it out.
Well, I don't know. Should I apologize for that? Or is that,
you know? I think the cat should apologize.
Yes. If he's doing 10 pounds of poop,
that's a big cat.
Take your cat to the vet, please, Huffman Elite Training.
We've got Mercedes Monet siding. She's showing off her new music video or her new music video, her new video. I guess there's music, but her new video. And MVP shows up and gives her his card. Later, MVP shows up to make an announcement, but Prince Nana wants to throw down in the ring. The only problem is that's not MVP's department. That is Shelton Benjamin's department, George Hermosa. Shelton Benjamin taking the complaints and taking the coffee mug.
Yeah, we all saw this coming. That's not to say I'm not excited about it. I think it's great. I've always been very high on Shelton Benjamin. I think he's just what a talent he is. Hopefully it doesn't get lost in the shuffle, like almost every other talent that comes into AEW. It looks like that's one part of this group, and it's only a matter of time before we see the next part of the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Jimmy, to that point, this is where usually I was kind of frustrated watching this show this time around. And usually I'm the one that's always saying everything's great, but this time I was a little frustrated. I know we knew that Shelton Benjamin was probably going to show up or Bobby Lashley. We were thinking that, but it reminded me of, and maybe it's because I just recently watched the Vince McMahon documentary and they talked about like the NWO and WCW in there. And it reminded me of like Scott Hall coming out and him saying, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. And it made me think of just how much more powerful an MVP coming out would be like, you know who I am, but you don't know who I'm bringing with me. Right. And now suddenly it's like, oh, what is he planning? Yes, we could probably put the pieces together, but then we're also kind of building things in our head and kind of to the point of, we don't want to see Adam Cole come back and just be in a match. I felt a little bit like it was like, oh, and they're here now.
Right.
I mean, I like that they're here. Shelton Benjamin is one of my all-time favorites. Don't get me wrong. It just felt like they left a little bit of story on the table.
No, of course they did, but they're leaving people hanging too. You know, obviously with Prince Nana there as being a part of the mix, we don't know how he's going to be involved in this because he seems to be an integral player in, you know, his relationship with Swerve. Does that play into it? Obviously, there's a MVP is trying to coordinate business dealings. Mm-hmm. Which is what I like him, you know, presenting his business card to Mercedes Monet. I like him presenting it to Prince Nana last week. I like the introduction of Shelton Benjamin. I'm a big Shelton Benjamin guy too, yeah. George. I all through the years, I always thought, even when he was a tag team with Charlie Haas, I said, you know, this guy, he's got it all. He still can go. He is still a player. And obviously we have an idea who's going to be the next member to join the squad. And it's going to be interesting. I like that they're taking their time with it. You know, maybe I would have waited another week or so before introducing the next player like Shelton. Maybe it doesn't have to be so soon. But other than that, I'm curious. I'm interested. I'm intrigued.
The a lot of people are saying now that, you know, like Rick Plott says, Swerve Strickland will be done with Prince Nana. Maybe so, but I feel like there's more money on the table with Swerve Strickland versus these guys. That's what I want to see, is Swerve Strickland versus Shelton Benjamin. I am a huge Shelton Benjamin fan. In fact, he was my favorite wrestler going when he was really, really cooking in the early 2000s. George, do you think Mercedes joins MVP? Is there, do you think there's going to be some people already in AEW that might join MVP, or do you think it's going to be strictly business?
I think it's going to be strictly business. I think it'd be cool for like a female to be involved. I know there was always all this talk about if somebody would join like the Hurt Business from a female side. But I do think with Mercedes, I think she's best standing alone, because I think she would overshadow if she was part of a group. So I don't see her joining, but I do want to add on, I loved what I saw from Prince Nana, because mm-hmm. I think we all kind of know Prince Nana as, you know, oh, he's going to come out there, do the dance, kind of have some fun. So I really like that we're seeing like a different side of Nana. And mm-hmm. I'm to the point where I'm like, huh, maybe I do kind of want to see him wrestle a match here and there. So I like this segment overall. I thought it was great. And combining that with the Mercedes and the MVP thing, I think that was all a big hit.
I do love that MVP has also kind of pointed out how Nana isn't serious. And now Nana's trying to be serious, especially if you follow on Twitter. I know that you should be able to follow everything just by the show, but you know, someone posted a funny dance montage of Nana, and MVP retweeted it saying, "Looks silly," or something like that, you know, where, and now I like that Nana's like, "Listen, man, I can fight if you want to do this." I like that Nana's shifting gears as well and not still just like,
you're right. You
know, he's reacting like a human being, Jimmy. And I think that's something we can both appreciate.
I will say this, if anybody took a sip of my coffee from my mug, it'd be on.
I mean, unless it was like burnt coffee, you know, sometimes coffee's not good.
Well, if it was cold, I'd let him have it.
But, you can burn coffee?
What? Oh, yeah. If it's on the burner too long.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I'm not a coffee drinker at all. So I don't know squat about this stuff. I thought hot coffee is good. But I guess something is too hot.
By the way, Nana, I'm still waiting for my coffee. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. Me too. we got some we've all been waiting for is TV time with the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho. Jericho takes the credit for all of AEW's successes and says it's time to say goodbye to the Ocho. And Jericho challenges Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor title at WrestleDream. Briscoe says since Jericho beat him, he gets the title shot, which is nice for Briscoe because he wants to put a notch in his belt beating a legend like Jericho. Jericho says Mark will never be as good as Jay was, so Mark knocks Jericho out. Jimmy, this was another situation where I feel like all the pieces of this were great. Again, another thing I kind of wish we could have spread out over a few weeks, though. It feels like this was a lot of great story bunched into one promo package.
No, I agree with that. I think it was a little bit rushed because you could have saved that Jay Briscoe line for a week or two later.
Yeah.
Let them get into it. And then even on the go home Dynamite before, or not Collision. I know it's on Saturday night, or is it the week of the pay-per-view? Are they on Friday? Special Friday.
I can't remember. I know next week they're on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah.
That means we're on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. I gotta double check. I gotta figure that out.
Oh, that's going to be a dicey little thing, because if we're on Tuesday and NXT's on Tuesday, then
sounds like we're going head to head, baby.
Oh,
it's war.
Tuesday night war.
Tuesday night war. Bring it, Glenn.
Right. See, but back to the Learning Tree segment with Mark Briscoe. I like the entertaining Mark Briscoe in this one, because he pops me, and that's you know. But I get you shifted gears and you got real serious real quick when you brought up his brother. And you got the punch knocking him on his butt. Again, save that for the go home one. That would have added more intrigue then. You don't have to put it all in the same promo, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if this was one that, George, that if they started this a little bit ago, it would have been better. But again, I do think it shows how good these guys are on the mic that they took something that was essentially, hey, I want to challenge for a title shot and turned it into a explained why the challenge is valid and now it's personal. I think it's one is very impressive, but on the other hand, again, I mean, it would have been cool if they started this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I have absolutely zero issues with this segment. Mm-hmm. I thought it was I do have one nitpicky thing, and I'm kind of curious what you guys think about it. But I thought this segment was great. I think Jericho kept it nice and simple. We all know how critical we all are about Jericho, but I thought it was simple. I love the way Mark Briscoe just flipped the switch, because we all love the entertaining, and the same thing I just said about Nana applies to Mark Briscoe. Just the whole, like, he's able to flip the switch just on an instant. But my question is, like, okay, so Jericho said. And I get it's kind of whole, like, keep his name out your mouth. But, like, if Jericho says, hey, you're never going to be as good as Jay mm-hmm. Briscoe was, things like that. Like, how was that kind of an insult? You know what I mean? Because, like, Jay was amazing. And maybe he's living his life trying to live up to that expectation. So if he didn't talk bad about Jay Briscoe, he mm-hmm. didn't talk down about him. He didn't say anything bad about him. He just said, hey, you know, you're just trying to be him, or you're not as good as him. Like, I don't see where that is, like, a fighting words kind of insult, you know?
No,
I think it was fighting words because Jericho meant it as an insult, mm-hmm. not as a your brother was great. Mm-hmm. He was trying to rub the situation in his face. Jimmy, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and also, you know, bringing up just the fact that he brought up his brother, like, you know, mm-hmm. who has passed, you know, and keep my brother's name out of your mouth. You know, don't ever mention him again in any form or fashion, whether you meant to put him over or whether you meant to insult me and or him, whatever the case may be, don't talk about him whatsoever. Family is off limits.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I loved it. I loved it. It really makes me look forward to this match. I think Mark Briscoe's a star. That guy is just so entertaining. And I like the fact that he got that serious side of him that we haven't really seen in a really long time. So now that this match is going to be official, I'm really hoping it turns into Mark Briscoe defeating Jericho. I don't know if I can stand, if I can look forward to being the Nueve for Chris Jericho. So, but either way, I think this is going to be a good match. And I think Jericho is going to bring out some of the best in Mark Briscoe.
You know what I'd like to see down the road is Mark Briscoe versus Eddie Kingston. I'd love to see those promos, because those two guys are just so good on microphones. Goodness.
Well, we saw it. I think we saw it for Ring of Honor, right? For the Super Card of Honor. But you're saying, like, more
on Dynamite.
On Dynamite, right. On regular TV, not the internet show.
Right.
Darby Allin tells a story about three guys on a bus and facing them down and almost getting stabbed, or maybe did get stabbed. He didn't actually clarify. Mm-hmm. And he said that was the attitude that cost him the shot against Bryan Danielson. He's losing faith in himself to be the face of AEW. So he puts out an open challenge. Jimmy, I like that he was able to explain kind of the mindset about why he put the opportunity on the line in the first place, even though it was stupid. But now he's got an open challenge. Thoughts on the promo, and who do you think the challenger is going to be?
I thought it was an intense promo. He's getting better on the mic, that's for sure. And I like that the fact that it was a video segment as opposed to done in the arena, because mm-hmm. then it prevents the audience from hijacking the promo segment, and it let him tell that story that he told. Mm-hmm. And as far as having an open challenge, I think it's interesting to see who's going to be that person to challenge him at the pay-per-view. I just find that lately we're getting too many open challenges. It just seems to be the flavor of the month sort of thing. And other than that, I did enjoy it. I liked hearing him, and it sounded genuine.
That was actually one of my gripes about this episode, is I believe there's four open challenges between Jericho. Mm. We'll talk about Shibata. And then I think there was a couple others in there, but as we go through, but yeah, there was a lot of them. So, a lot of open challenges, but George, how did you feel about the promo, and who do you think his opponent's going to be?
I thought the promo was interesting. I thought it was interesting, fascinating that he used the word switchblade. So I thought that was going to be like a sign of things to come. Little did I know. But I do think that there is a certain Washington native that is not booked for the show currently. And I think it's going to be a nice little match between two people paying tribute to their home state. And that's going to be, I think somebody already mentioned it, Darby versus Swerve.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Greg the Hammer Valentine. But
he's from Washington?
Is he? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure. Greg Hammer Valentine, hometown. Let's take a look. Seattle, Washington. Okay, I was right.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
Yeah, I second guessed myself. I was I was like, of course, the greatest hair of the 80s.
Well, I honestly had no idea what to. I would have guessed like Virginia or something. Although, I would have thought Southern based on a promo that I saw from like 40 years ago.
Yeah, he never seemed like a Seattle guy, to be totally honest. That's why it always stood out to me. Because then, you know, growing up, you're like, who are the people from, like, from where I'm from? And, you know, like, I guess it's Greg. I was a Greg Valentine fan as a kid, so I was kind of like, oh.
I will say, if there was, like, a World Cup of pro wrestling, but for, like, states, I would think Washington is, like, up there. They got Swerve Danielson. Greg the Hammer Valentine, Barbie. Like, there's a lot of good representation from Washington.
There are now, but back in the, you know, back when I was a kid, there wasn't a lot of them. Yeah. It's kind of an outpost out there. But Adam Page has a match with Juice Robinson earlier in the night. Page attacks the Guns, then has a wild fight that ends in a low blow by Page to Robinson, allowing Page to get the win. After the match, Page chokes Juice until Jay White returns and chases off Page, fighting him in the crowd and putting down the Hangman. Jimmy, I love these guys, so I was kind of bummed out they're fighting because I want them both to win. But I think it ended the way we kind of assumed it would. How'd you like this one, and what do you think about the return of Jay White?
I thought it was fine. He got a good reaction, and that's the main thing. The people didn't forget him, and they wanted to see this match. I like the fact that they started quickly outside the ring and that before the bell rang so they could fight outside for fight forever outside, you know? So once they got back in the ring, you know, again, getting a little nitpicky, once they got back in and the bell rang, that's when Juice Robinson took the belt and started choking Hangman, kind of a little bit illegal.
Match.
But again, I'm just nitpicking right now, but I'm really enjoying Hangman right now. I think he's found a groove. I think he's found something in his time that he's away, and he's capitalizing on it very well. And I'm looking for big things from him. He's a guy that you don't need in the top storyline right now and still generate interest. And those are the guys that are very important to the card. And that's his role right now, I guess, for the time being. So, and he's also a guy that you can plug in that top spot when needed.
Yes.
So, you know, he's one of those great versatile players right now.
Very Seth Rollins in that nature, where like Seth Rollins in WWE is very like you can have him face someone lower in the card and it'll feel just fine. But you could pop him right back into the world title scene anytime. You're like, yeah, that works too. Mm-hmm. George, I love this one. I love Jay White, too. I am worried about their potential rivalry because I don't want Hangman to lose right now. And I also don't want Jay White to take a loss as soon as he comes back.
Yeah, that's one of the magic things about pro wrestling is when you have two of our favorites kind of go at it and we're like, oh my God, I don't see this, you know, like I don't want either one to lose. But when at the end of the day, when that match is over, I'm sure we're all going to be like, what a win-win situation and what a great match that was. Overall, I thought it was great. I love Jay White. I think he is. I just thought of it right now where I'm like, he reminded me a lot of like Finn Balor in a great way. I think they got a lot of the similar vibes. Mm-hmm. I got two nitpicky things though. And this is something that is so like outrageous because it's been happening for like 40 years for a very long time. So it's not an AEW thing. It's just a pro wrestling thing. So you have Hangman defeat Juice Robinson, right? And then after the match, it looks like he takes his belt off. It looks like he's going to choke him. And obviously the Guns are nowhere to be found. Why did Jay White wait for this moment to come out? And if he didn't, if he wasn't going to choke him with a belt, was he not going to come out at all? Was he just going to show up? I don't know. The little tiny things that I shouldn't be thinking about because it's so pro wrestling. Like, I don't even know. It's been happening for 40 years. And also like, the only thing I didn't like is when Jay White, you know, was back with Juice Robinson, he went to go check on Juice Robinson and says, Hangman, I'm going to get you. Why don't you go get him right now then? You know, like, why wait? Mm-hmm. If you want to beat up somebody so bad, why wait for a match? Just go do it right now. So the first one, that's whatever. Like, that's just being nitpicky. The second one is more like, I feel like people need to choose their words a little bit better when it comes to like, hey, I'm going to get you, you know, this Sunday. Well, he's right over there. Why don't you just go beat him up right now? Are you worried about beating him up, or are you worried about beating him in the ring? So I don't know. Just little things like that.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. I guess those things don't bother me as much because I've watched too much wrestling. It's kind of like when the guy, like when the music hits and they run out, like, why was the music guy ready for this?
Because I said the same thing about Kevin Owens. Same thing I said about Kevin Owens last year when he made the save for Sami Zayn and his music played, but he didn't come from like the entrance ramp. I'm like, how did somebody in the back know how to play his music? You know, just little things like that. I shouldn't be thinking about that. Yes. So he has his phone while he's, you know, beating people up.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I get what you're saying, but it's kind of like, like a Russian leg sweep, I always wonder, like, both of you are falling in the exact same way. Yeah. Why does it hurt one of you and not the other?
Right. Or even like a suplex.
But I just kind of go, it's wrestling. So I guess that's how it works. Mm-hmm. I don't argue it. But you're not wrong. It is kind of, I know that's Justin LaBarre's thing. Like, he gets furious about music playing when people come out. Right.
Because we saw the Queen Aminata. We'll get into it. But I thought the same thing with that.
Well, let's talk about it. Britt Baker has a match with Serena Deeb while Mariah May watches on. Britt Baker gets another win in her hometown, but post-match, Deeb attacks Britt's leg until Queen Aminata comes out and chases Deeb off. Afterwards, Mariah May accuses Willow of failing up when things get physical before they get broken up. George, you said you kind of led into Queen Aminata. Why don't you...
No, just the same logic where Queen Aminata, I'm sure they're all watching the monitors in the back because they all want to scout their potential opponents or whatever. And so she runs out to save Britt. So somebody quick, Queen Aminata's coming out. We play her music for like 5 seconds, you know, just like, I don't know if it was me, like I wouldn't want you to play my music because I'd want to, you know, I don't know. Is it like a warning sign? You know what I mean? Like, hey, my music's going to play, so you better get off her before I get in there. You know, just little things like that I should not be thinking about because it is pro wrestling. And that's what pro wrestling is. But overall, like, I'm a big Britt Baker fan. I do feel like, and I have no idea about anything as far as her contract goes, I do feel like we're seeing the last days of Britt Baker in AEW because I feel like there's really nothing else for her to do in that promotion.
That's a spicy take. Jimmy, do you, I guess, thoughts on that heater that George threw there at the end that snuck it in at the final bell? Thoughts on that, but also thoughts on this matchup. What I feel like this is great because it put a lot of different contenders in the peripheral of the world title scene for the women, which I think is very important. And so now I could see Serena getting a title shot, Britt Baker getting a title shot, Aminata getting a title shot. Willow getting a title shot. A lot of people are now in that picture for me, but unless I was following closely, it also seemed a little bit like, who are all these people? I felt like they could have done a little bit better job of keeping this cleaner. That's my nitpick. I felt like if you weren't following, you just saw a bunch of random people running around.
No, I get that too. But at the same time, I think the problem is, yes, you want everybody's goal is to be the champion. Or at least that's what's supposed, you know, in theory, that's what everybody's goal is supposed to be in this business, is you want to challenge a champion. But when you have too many contenders challenging for the same title at the same time, that's when things get confusing instead of telling more precise stories. You know what I'm saying? It's the same problem they're having a little bit with the men's world title picture, the same thing. But with the women's, I think that's a problem. And if you want to get nitpicky, George, I got a little nitpicky one too. After the match was over, when Serena Deeb put Britt Baker in that, I guess, an ankle lock, a leg lock, whatever kind of lock it was.
The half crab or whatever.
Yeah, the half crab or whatever it was. Why is Britt tapping? It's not gonna, like, she's going to stop. You know? If it was in a match, you know, anyway.
Now you're overthinking it.
Yes, exactly.
Because she's tapping because she knows it's just a kind of a creature of habit, but she knows that it's not going to make her in losing a match. So it's okay to tap because you're not in the match. We see it happen all the time.
Well, I know, but it still bugs me.
It is funny.
Why would you nitpick on something like that, Jimmy? Like, this is pro wrestling. You shouldn't be nitpicky like that.
Oh, that's what I do.
It is funny, like, in a real life situation. Yeah, you'd be like, what is... Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, if you were like a fight, like, and you know, Haku's biting your nose off, you're tapping,
and you're tapping,
on the
ground, and he looks over, and goes, okay, no, okay, I won't bite all the way through then. That's
okay. We got a couple of packages, video packages. Christian Cage cuts a promo, and Taz talks, or a Hook, I should say, talks about Taz being attacked by quote unknown assailants. And Hook says, you mess with the family, I'm going to come find you. George, I love that they kept Christian relevant, and just a promo, I think, is a good way to just remind us who he is. I like that Hook has someone who is after him and his family. Who do you think it is? And what do you think about this whole thing?
My mind is going maybe Samoa Joe. I know they alluded to that match earlier, so maybe it's something like that. But I do want to give props to Hook, because I always felt like talking isn't his strong suit. So I feel like today it was just kind of short and sweet and straight to the point. So I like that he didn't have to go through this rigmarole of emotion and whatnot. So I thought it was nice and straight to the point. I wasn't here last week, but I do want to say that I'm happy that the FTW championship is retired. So I like that happened. But overall, yeah, I my guess, it's got to be like someone like Samoa Joe. Like, there's history there. And again, why? I don't know, but I can't really think of anyone else that would literally go after Taz just to get the Hook,
right?
Except for Samoa Joe.
It was a the Taz thing. I think it was cool that they factored him in. I think it's smart that they add him to this. I do wish on commentary they treated it more like a because they kind of just threw it in the middle of a match. Like, by the way, Taz isn't here because he was attacked by some unknown assailants. Like, it's kind of a big deal. Like, I feel like, and I don't want to compare to the WWE, because I feel like that brings a negative connotation to what you're saying, but I feel like that's where, like, in WWE, they would have done the shot of the commentary team, and they would have said, hey, so guys, you know, we have some sad news. Unfortunately, Taz isn't here tonight. And they would have talked about it a bit like that, and then thrown to Hook. Because if you weren't really paying attention to commentary, you didn't really know what Hook was talking about when he came in promo, which happened like an hour later in the show. And so I wish they had just, again, taken a little bit of a moment there. I think they also could have done that with the announcement of the deal, by the way, the Warner Brothers deal.
Yeah. I thought that was going to be a big, like, Tony Khan coming out and saying, hey, you know, it's official. Blah, blah, blah. I thought it was going to be a big deal.
I was expecting it. I was expecting it, and it didn't happen, you know, especially with that overrun. They had time.
Or again, at least like where they show, you know, they go close up on Excalibur, and it's like, big announcement here. You may have seen it from Variety. We have just signed this new contract, big thing. Exciting times, right, Tony? And then Shivani's like, yeah, you know, big history in TNT and TBS, and we're happy to be here. We're going to be streaming on Max, and, you know, kind of present it as opposed to just like, yeah, I don't want to go back now, but now it's like Ricochet with the Hurricane Rana. Anyways, you might have heard we signed a new deal, and we're back to the Hidden Blade move. Like,
go ahead.
No, or to do like a DC ad in the right in the middle of the Ricochet, you know, Osprey match. It just felt odd placement, stuff like that. You put that in there, but you don't talk about the deal, which you're going to get the crowd reaction, the live crowd, and have people on TV see that these people are excited and happy that there's going to be 3 or 5 more years of AEW on TBS and TNT.
Yeah.
I think we just all been saying that. I feel like AEW misses the boat on a lot of things where it can be done in such a more grandier way. And I forgot to mention this for the last segment, where just randomly during the ladies match, it was just like, oh, and by the way, Tony Storm teamed with Mina Shirakara out in Japan at Stardom. It's like, that can be so much more of a bigger deal, right? You have Mariah doing her thing with Mina Shirakawa. They could have showed like a video of like Tony teaming with Mina and Mariah reacting like, wait, what the hell's going on? And that kind of could build to the story of that, but it just, they threw it away just so like, oh, by the way, like, why even mention it then if you're not going to build upon it or not going to make it such a big deal? I just feel like there are certain things that they can be such a bigger deal, and just like, dude, there's no rush. You can stretch it out for as long as you can, or as long as you want to. Yeah, or even like next week, you know, just like I said, when I heard that Sunday, I would have liked to have Mariah just reacting to like, why is Tony teaming with Mina? Like what the hell is going on? Just, yeah, that's my only thing.
Well, we move on and we
Really quick, I have a question because for some reason I'm a little confused on it. Was the, did they say earlier in the day Taz was attacked?
Yeah.
And they don't know who?
Yeah.
So they had to fly him. They had to fly. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. It was, quote, masked assailants. Assailants.
Okay.
So, oh, they were clearly in the NXT parking lot.
I see. I see what's going on here. But why? They're in Pittsburgh. I'm sure they have a perfectly fine medical facility they can take him to there. Why'd they have to fly him back to New York?
That was, I felt like that was also a, like, why did you add that detail? Just say he's not
there.
Yeah,
you didn't need it. Didn't need it.
Kevin, by the way, with an interesting prediction as far as who could be attacking Taz, saying, alluding to Christian, saying, beat me if you can, survive if I let you.
Ooh.
I mean, he is a dad. Makes sense. Taz is the dad that is not hurt. Speaking of bad transitions, Jack Perry shows up. And Shibata open challenges for the TNT title. Perry attacks Shibata before accepting. Later on, we get Private Party versus the Iron Savages, and Private Party get a quick win before they cut a promo saying they want a title shot right now. The Bucks say no. Mm-hmm. So they, along with Perry, beat up Private Party until Shibata makes the save. Christopher Daniels says that there will be a six-man tag on Rampage as Stokely Hathaway watches on. Jimmy, you are not impressed.
Not really. First of all, now all you have to do is use Google Translate to get a title match. And second of all, that tag team match had no business being on TV. I'm sorry. You know, with all due respect to the guys, it was not good.
That is a Rampage match all the way.
Yeah.
That's what Rampage is there for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm okay with quick matches like this where it's like you just because clearly they want to make Private Party look tough before their match with the Young Bucks. It's odd timing because they just got flattened by Blackpool Combat Club. So it's kind of a weird time to heat them up. But like,
I'm sorry, Jack, but it's not even that for me. It's the fact that this match, the way it played out, the actual match itself was not good.
Yeah,
and didn't belong on television. This thing was it was a mess. I hate to say it, but I'm being blunt right now, and I'm being honest. It was not good, and you could tell because the crowd was kind of like going, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely had its issues. George, any thoughts on this one? This one, it felt again like there was a lot of stuff they were trying to accomplish in a very short period of time. Any takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, kind of going on Jimmy said, like, I didn't think it was that. It was out of place, but I didn't think it was that out of place just because I feel like they are going to try to give Private Party a nice little push. They have that history going back to the second episode of Dynamite where they defeated the Bucks in that tag team tournament match. So I feel like that's going to get played off into what we end up seeing, whether it's Private Party winning. Who knows? I'd like for them to win. But I do like we're seeing a more aggressive side of them. Maybe going through what they did with BCC kind of, you know, help them prepare for that. But I like that. It did seem like it was a little too much. Like they feel like they were in a rush to do certain things when Shibata coming out. I'd like for Shibata or just anybody just to be more consistent with what's happening. You just have Shibata randomly show up out of nowhere and be like, oh, I want a title. Yeah. I mean, it is a TBS or the which one is it? TNT championship. So that is kind of more of an open challenge kind of championship from what we've been seeing for the last 4 years. But overall, I thought it wasn't bad. But just if it means Private Party getting to at least get an opportunity, then I'm all for it.
So on this show, I should say, I want to double back and say Jericho essentially had an open challenge or challenged openly for a title. Darby has now issued an open challenge. Shibata issued an open challenge and Private Party basically just challenged for a title. So there's four. Hey, I want a match. Give it to me. Setups in the one show. So a bit much, I think, especially for titles and especially for matches that are going to be on a pay-per-view in 2 weeks. We get to the main event, and we started the show. We're going to go back to the beginning. with a Blackpool Combat Club video message, one for Yuta wondering where the lion has been, and Moxley, on the other hand, saying that Bryan Danielson has the opportunity to die on his shield. We get Okada versus Danielson. Danielson earlier says that this one is for AEW. Story of the match, Okada eats the clock to get past the 20-minute mark. After 20 minutes pass, the Blackpool Combat Club stood in the crowd, distracting Okada, allowing Danielson to get the win and retain. Post-match, Okada attacks Danielson, flips off the Blackpool Combat Club. Moxley says, it was never about me, it's about something bigger. Yuta comes to save Danielson, but the BCC get the upper hand, and next week it'll be Danielson and Yuta versus Pac and Claudio. Jimmy, I loved that opening video package. Mm-hmm. I thought that was incredible. I want to see more of that all around. I felt like the match on its own, but Danielson Okada was cool. Felt a little weird with the 20-minute time limit thing in there and all that. But what was your takeaway?
No, I agree. I like that opening segment. It drew me in right away. As soon as he started talking, Mox just drew me in. Mm-hmm. His verbiage, the way he presented himself, the way he enunciated everything he did, I was invested. As the match for itself, it was fine. There's good match. What I expect those from Bryan Danielson nowadays, and of course he's in there with Okada. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that Okada, with that stipulation of the first 20 minutes, his title being on the line, that he did kind of take his time and waste time. It made mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah.
From a psychology standpoint, it made sense. The only thing that kills me, and again, here I go with the nitpicking again, is there is a right time to do a roll up or a backslide for a finish, but don't do it after I've seen somebody dropped on their head 14 times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For some reason, for that, in that case, it loses me. But other than that, the match was good. These guys are good. The after angle, again, Moxley left a little some questions. He said it wasn't about him. There's a bigger picture. What that bigger picture is, I'm interested to find out. Obviously, we've seen some interesting photos emerge online. Is that what he's referring to? I know a lot of people are speculating on that. Maybe that is the direction they're going. Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. That's the more curious question, not what's going to happen in the match between Mox and Bryan Danielson. What is he talking about? What is that bigger picture that he's alluding to?
What pictures are you talking about?
Shane McMahon and the Young Bucks, okay. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, Jimmy. I want your thoughts on Shane McMahon. Let's say, just because it's easier, it's an easier question this way.
Right.
Purely as an on-screen character, would you like to see Shane McMahon in AEW?
As an on-screen character?
As part of this John Moxley thing. Let's say, for the sake of making it easy and us not getting too in the weeds, he can do nothing backstage. He's just a character.
As just a character?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to it, because he's going to add eyes to the product, because people are going to be curious. They're going to tune in to see what's going on. And Shane is very entertaining on the mic. Mm-hmm. He can draw an audience in, and I don't have a problem with him showing up. I know people are going to say, oh, but it's, he's the guy from the other. No, that's what makes it interesting. Who would ever thought that a McMahon would end up on AEW television?
Yeah. I would love to see him in AEW, even as a character. I'd like to see him in a more of a role, but again, when you get into like what he's doing backstage, then it becomes a whole convoluted conversation. But especially again, after seeing the Mr. McMahon doc, I'd like to see Shane take a hand at wrestling business outside of what his dad created, and see him get that opportunity. But George, I am fascinated by what John Moxley's talking about. My fear is that there's something bigger is just I want to influence things, and there's not an actual big story to it. It's just kind of something he's saying. But I'm excited to see that. I feel there's a lot of evil groups right now that might be butting heads. I don't know where to go with this, but I do love this new version of the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah, I love that opening. I've loved all those segments that they've been doing for the past few weeks. And he said something that really resonated with me in terms of just the whole whatever they're trying to accomplish, is that he said, like, we've never changed. you're the one that changed. And I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, Blackpool Combat Club was like this badass group that left people bloody, that just beat people down, and they're still that group. So so they've never changed on who they are. Like, you look back at those, like, you know, all those Stadium Stampede matches that they were in, you know, facing against, like, you know, Orange Cassidy, like all those guys, like they would literally leave their opponents in like a bloody mess. And now it's almost as if, like, I feel like there was this deal that Danielson was never going to go after the AEW world title, because Moxley alluded to it. Like, you know, you were never supposed to go after the championship. That's supposed to be mine. The only thing that took me out of it very briefly was when, like, I want to say, like, when the show started, I think Excalibur, somebody said, like, oh, the BCC waging war against AEW. And it's like, we just saw that with, like, the Elite. Like, you know, like, but even so, like, what does that mean? What does waging war against AEW mean? Like, okay, so you're going to win the championship. Now what? So we'll see what that means. But yeah, I'm loving these segments. I thought the match was great. I thought that stipulation was beyond stupid. Like, oh, let you know, this championship's just going to be, you know, available for the next, for the first 20 minutes. Like, oh, come on. Like, just stop trying to be cute. Like, Danielson has nothing to gain by being the Continental Championship match. Just leave that out of it. Just a weird stipulation to have. Although, and I said this last week, I'd love for Yuta to turn and join the BCC. And I still think we're going to see that. I thought we were going to see it today. I thought we were going to see Yuta, you know, attack Danielson with a screwdriver, whatever he had in his hand. But I do think we're going to end up seeing it next week.
Yeah, it could happen next week. The 20-minute thing, by the way, at first was confusing to me, but then I did realize that the Continental Championship always is contended under 20-minute rules, is why they did that. But I agree with you. It should have just been, this is for the AEW title. It made it confusing in a way that I don't think necessarily needed. Because I don't think there was a single person that thought, oh, Danielson's going to win in 20 minutes, especially with the big extended show announcement beforehand. So, like, okay, well, they're not going to have him win and then end the show at the right time.
I was actually surprised they didn't do something where that backslide happened at 20 minutes and 3 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, I kind of thought they might try to do something like that too. But, you know, I feel like more and more Okada's got to become a good guy. I feel like we're fighting uphill with this guy. Everyone likes Okada. Like, just let us like Okada. Right. And it feels a little bit like they've been sort of, they didn't break up the Elite, but they haven't been together in a while. And I wonder if they're kind of quietly just disassociating them with each other. I kind of hope they do, because I think Okada's a good guy. We want to see him. We want to cheer for him. But that's the show. We covered it all. We covered everything, guys. We did it. High five. So thank you to everyone who joined us. Jimmy, where can we find you online? And any overall thoughts of the show?
I thought the show was good. I didn't think it was a home run, especially for a 50-year anniversary show. I was, maybe my expectations were too high. You know, I was overreaching for myself. But there really wasn't, other than that one tag match that I thought didn't belong, I thought everything was fine on the show. As far as where you can find me here on Wednesday nights with you guys, Monday nights, Triple J. And this Saturday, George and I will be there after Bad Blood. Talking about Bad Blood. I think this is the first time you and I are alone, George, is it not?
Or maybe just how I dreamed it.
Ah, okay.
Can't believe, I don't know who was asleep at the wheel to let you guys on a show on your own.
On a Saturday night? This is...
I think it's going to be more Saturday evening, because they're starting at like 2 hours earlier.
Yeah, they're at 6 o'clock, which, trust me, I don't mind that one bit.
They should have started at 6:05.
Oh my goodness! Jeez. See, it writes itself.
And they're in Atlanta too. They're like right there.
Oh my goodness!
Come on, WWE, you guys dropped the ball big time on that one. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Who's going to be on? I always like to know who's going to be on Reffing It Up.
Yeah. Oh, who's going to be on Reffing It Up this week? Our guest on Reffing It Up with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hepner, and RJ Holds the Glue Together, Ricky Gibson.
Oh, Ricky.
I made a surprise appearance on SmackDown a couple of weeks ago. And also Huge Pop Radio up here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio with Donnie DeSalvo and myself. Last week, we had a great chat with Eric Young, especially about his new show, Vinyl Obsession. Great stuff for a great Canadian kid. You know, what can I say? And of course, my riff and rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, just tightening these little screws that I think need tightening.
You know, Reffing It Up has been my workout playlist for the past few days. So
really?
I had a chance to listen to Lance Storm and Ricky Gibson recently. Mm. Great shows. Everyone should check them out.
Lance Storm doesn't return my emails.
No one does, George.
I got a few people.
But George, what are you working on, and what are your final thoughts on the show?
By the way, I'm a big Ricky Gibson fan. I'm a big fan of Midnight Heat.
Yes.
I think they are so great. Are they still doing their thing for Championship Wrestling?
When Championship Wrestling is recording, I know they're we're getting some stuff worked out, but they'll be back.
I'm a big fan of Guy Twicazetti.
Guy Twicazetti's another fun guy. Yeah.
I always whenever I see him, I'm like, dude, I love your Guy Twicazetti character.
Jimmy, yeah. If you haven't seen Guy Twicazetti, no, just close your eyes. Looks exactly the way you imagine.
Oh, this guy. Yeah, he's got it.
Guy Cool is a cool guy. Yeah. He's a cool guy. But overall thoughts, I thought it was a really good show. I was very, very entertained. I thought it flowed really well. It wasn't so much that it felt like it was long. It was just more like, when are we going to go on? Because we usually go on right after Dynamite. So I'm just like, are we end up going to go on like at, you know, 7:45, whatever, or Pacific time? But yeah, I thought it was overall a good show. We got great matches, a lot of cool things to look forward to. You know, usually Collision is a good kind of like an after show or after party for Dynamite. So I kind of see how they're going to follow up with that. But yeah, just overall, I thought it was a good show. Looking forward to Title Tuesday. We're going to be here next Tuesday and not next Wednesday. So I'm excited to hang out with you guys on a Tuesday, going head to head with NXT.
We're taking Glenn down. That's right, Glenn. I want to thank everyone who's in the chat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jose, yeah. The answer is yes, Jose.
Jose, for our audio listeners,
Jose,
George, will there be trivia? There will be. And Aaron Mick is asking about the Hurt Business. We did chat about that earlier on in the show, Aaron. That should be up there on the replay. Danny Cochran says, none of you guys do the Barry Horowitz pat yourself on the back. Funny enough, George Ramosa runs a channel called The Wrestling Chatter. I chatted with one Barry Horowitz about that exact same thing. You can check that out on The Wrestling Chatter, as well as my interview with Buff Bagwell, where I have started a crusade to get Buff Bagwell in the next WWE video game. So if you believe in getting Buff Bagwell in WWE 2K, let me hear it on Twitter at Real Jack Farmer. Let's start some support to
or
get
even
Buff
like
Daddy
an,
in
even
there.
Even like an updated action figure. They do a lot of legends for WWE, like for Mattel. So we need to see an updated Buff Bagwell with a hat. Oh, they should have the interchangeable outfits, one with the red hat, one with the black neck collar, one with the overalls. Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
I want Buff Bagwell in my video game, 2K. Make it happen. I want Buff Daddy in there.
Buff's the stuff.
Buff is the stuff. You can check that interview out on The Wrestling Chatter. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I thought this week's episode of Dynamite was frustrating. I'll be honest. There's a lot of stuff where I felt like we were so close to something being great, and then something, it didn't, you know, like that opening match I felt was a perfect microcosm of the whole episode, where it was like, this is so great. Oh, this is a weird ending. Oh, this is, I felt like there's just a lot of that for me. And I'm like, Jimmy, maybe I just thought, fifth anniversary, I thought there was going to be maybe some huge angle or something that happened, and it didn't happen. So maybe I set myself up. I don't know, but I felt a little disappointed by the end of it, if I'm being honest. But Title Tuesday next week, guys in the chat, everyone listening, everyone who hears my voice right now, Tuesday, I want you to know, you got to pick a favorite. You got to pick a favorite. You can't say that you love all of us. You got to pick. Is it Glenn and Emily, or is it Jimmy, Jack, and George? You have to pick. I will keep receipts. I'm going to look in the chat. And so help me, if I see Huffman Elite training over on the NXT after show, I'm going to get upset. I'm going to give you a citation. I'm going to give you a demerit. I'm going to give you every single type of disciplinary action that doesn't mean anything. So until then, follow At Wrestling Inc. for all your latest wrestling news. And be sure to tune into the After SmackDown show. That'll be a fun one. We will see you then. Hit the end stream button.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.